Time stops for no being. Overthrowing despots be damned. A favor for a friend and ally brings the Voidjammer's crew to the ocean planet of Entha on a rescue mission. They'll soon find out that the churning water is home to many mysteries, some that jeopardize their current mission, and some about the crew members themselves. Beneath the surface lie potential answers and, for once, a job that has them answering a call to protect and to preserve. Aside from the demons within, in their way stands a much more immediate and external dragon to slay, the company manager of Entha and her squad of aquatic troubleshooters. And Saren, Relora, Ballad, and Friday look like the perfect target practice. Ride the waves or get shot trying. Far beyond the stars.
I can't remember what we did last episode.
Well, that's okay, because I have a recap prepared. and then I have a couple of questions for each of you to help kind of remind us all what the heck, and also to remind me what did I tell you versus not tell you? I was reading through the adventure and I'm like, did I give them this piece of information? Did I give them that one? Did they ask about that? I can't remember.
If you want me to give you the MP3 of like the episode so you can like kind of go back and listen to things, because I definitely do that for Fantastic Worlds on occasion. Let me know. I'm happy to get it to you.
I'll let you know. The problem was I didn't think I needed it. And then it turned out as I was kind of like, I was reviewing my notes before hopping on and I was like, Oh yeah.
There's that too.
Huh. Okay.
all the things that happen when we don't record for a month.
Yeah, absolutely. But I feel like I've got it pretty much figured out and I'm really excited to get into the final part of the book today. We are entering act three of book three. Things will be coming to a head. We will find out many things and have many opinions, and hopefully the four of you will fight more, because I think that makes a really fun audio drama. Quick reminder, since we are starting part three of the book, did y'all level up to level 6?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
That's a great question. Let's see here. Doing math. 4 + 2.
Oh, sweet.
All right. The math checks out.
I
ran the numbers.
I am now at +15 diplomacy. So,
+15 piloting.
Oh, good. You hate to hear it.
Hey, feel better. None of my skills are above +11. Okay.
I do. And you love to hear it.
I mean, my bluff's only +12.
My damage is +19, though. So,
Now, Abby, to make you feel better, my fort is a +1 at this level. So, if it's too smoggy outside, it might knock my character out.
Excellent. I'll be sure to target you with any fortifier-related.
We go to the planet with bad air quality.
If it makes you feel any better, my wisdom is +0 on the modifier.
Oh, my God.
So. Ooh, ay.
Damn.
He's charming, but he's not wise. It's a deadly combination.
Wise.
Is that why you've been antagonizing people during the diplomacy portion lately? I made a note of that for Miss Fanny. It was like, whoa, the captain used to be like super diplomatic. Why is he like slapping people around? I mean, not physically slapping.
He's a ball buster.
Welcome to a diplomatic meeting. Jackass. Let's talk.
The bigger the capitalist function, the angrier he gets. So I think is the basic
negative
equation.
It's the inverse. Negative 15 diplomacy.
EdgeCorp is the biggest capitalist enterprise. So he is the most angry with it. Also killed his mom, if you remember. So he has a very short fuse when it comes to EdgeCorp.
Valid and fair, you know, understandable.
Like technically, EdgeCorp didn't kill your mom. Technically, she died of an illness.
that's the capitalist line for that one.
EdgeCorp was there for her for 20 years, you know,
supplying her much needed medication.
Yeah,
you know, in exchange for your labor at a much, much lower rate than you were worth.
Yes.
You should have known that before you became peasants, you know.
Yeah.
I should, you know, Friday should have just ate
La Corp.
You know, Friday should have just ate less avocado toast.
Yeah, it was all that avocado toast. Oh, the coffee, the $5 coffee.
I brought tears to my eyes.
Once you stopped eating the avocados, you kind of ruined the economy. So it's your fault.
Oh, there you go. You can never win. And that's today's lesson, folks. Go ahead, Abby.
Let's journey out of horrible real world late stage capitalism problems and journey instead into the metaphorical late stage capitalism problems into which the four of you have taken a very, very deep dive indeed.
Literally.
Yes.
Sploosh.
Last episode, Ballad hunted the remaining Callow mercenaries through the terraforming platform. It was very badass, very exciting for the four of you, and very impressive and terrifying for me. The crew handily proceeded to defeat one of the bad guys, and then Friday convinced the final mercenary to stand down and even managed to get the guy to agree to a temporary job with the four of you in
Pokemon,
a Logan-style shameless request.
Yes.
Logan said he was very proud of me.
As he should be. You truly were channeling his spirit. For that one. While in the laboratory, after you took care of the violence situation, you discovered an eel-like creature was being held in one of the tanks, and Shan explained that this is the reason that Avarin has been targeting her. Shan suspects that Entha is home to a sentient species after all, a species that she's been calling the Aglians, and she wants to go to a region of the ocean called the Shadow Sea to prove it, because she suspects that the Aglians have been congregating there. So you got this information out of her. You all noticed that she was seeming a little shifty, seeming a little guilty, and this caused a bit of a schism in the crew about how you actually wanted to handle that situation. Miss Fanny and Saren wanted to give Shan a little space to handle this. Friday and Ballad wanted to drill down into why she was feeling guilty and just get everything out in the open. And you ended up probing a little bit into how Shan was feeling, resulting into her kind of having a little breakdown. She mentioned that she had been trying to slow down the terraforming platform. She'd been subtly editing the software that actually controls the platform in an effort to slow down the terraforming efforts while she figured out what to do about the Aglians. And the platform ended up wrecking, and she feels like all of this was her fault, and she's the reason, you know, she put all of her friends in danger, and the reason why one of the members of her crew is dead. She left the room, and that leaves the four of you. Time, the terraforming station is currently stable, but it is still in rough shape. There are still rooms that are completely flooded behind their bulkheads. There are, a couple of places where it's been completely shattered. It's not moving anywhere. It's on, but it's probably not a great idea to stay here for too much longer. So you've got that situation to deal with. You have the pressing situation of trying to go figure out how to get some proof that the Aglians are sentient creatures so that you can get the Edgecorp project shut down. And you also have a really rough emotional situation brewing between the four of you. So what's up? What would you like to do next?
Fanny, you mind checking these computers? I have a feeling this is Edgecorp's doing, not necessarily Shan's. Something in my gut says so.
So right now, they're putting away the food. They put out a spread, you know, to help with morale, get folks's, you know, fortify them via the belly. You know, that's Miss Fanny's thing, regardless of what form, you know, she, he, they are in. So I was putting the stuff away and I'm channeling like my mom. Sometimes like she's upset. She's still doing like her house, you know, oh, audience can't see my quotes of the house chores, but it's, you could see in the face and how she's putting stuff away. That's like, oh damn, the minute she's finished, where there's going to be some issues. So I'm picturing, you know, this reptilian with kind of that Miss Fanny mannerisms, you know, putting down the Tupperware lids, putting stuff away. They'll look up. There'll be probably like a heartbeat, like a 5 heartbeats where they're just kind of looking up with their cold reptilian eyes. And we'll just nod and we'll make their way to... Okay, then GM question. With Fanny having reviewed kind of like the blueprints and, you know, have already kind of been into the computer with a pump room to kind of help that out, where would be a good place to start? You would think kind of with their knowledge of engineering, where to start that kind of investigation. They don't, as like a player, I'm kind of conflicted versus going to the scene of the accident, which I don't remember where. I just know it was Righteous and, you know, random computer terminal.
What you know from sort of like what you've already investigated about the platform and from what you heard from Shan about what her concerns are about like what she thinks she did, you can surmise that like the platform, something happened to the drill in the platform, because that's the room that seems the most busted, and it's the one that is completely open to the ocean. It's where Righteous is dead in the like the operator's seat for the drill, and the drill is sort of halfway hanging out of the room. So drill failure is where, you know, you think the source of the accident was, what caused the explosion. Shan seems to think that because she was messing with the software that codes how efficiently the drill runs, that she's the one who caused the drill to blow up. Okay. Or to malfunction. And so you would want to check a computer terminal.
They'll head there. So they just like a flick of the tail, and we'll, you know, beeline to a terminal to start the review. And we'll probably do a 2-prong approach. They'll want to compare maybe like the data software with the damage, especially since they can breathe underwater. They're best suited from the team to, and with the fins to, I guess, compare the damage with the software. I guess kind of do a hardware software comparison. But they'll start
Start with the computer. Okay. Make me a computer check.
14. But you know, that's indicative of they're very distracted, and as they're going through the code, they're like, "Oh, did I put the dairy products away?" Because they packed really quick.
I will say, Ballad probably took over for them as they left the room, putting stuff away.
But yeah, 14 total.
Yeah, you're sorting through the code. You're looking at it. You honestly don't know enough about terraforming drills. It's honestly like underwater, deep sea drilling anything. You've never really done it before. It's one of the few things in the galaxy that you don't have any general expertise in.
Oh, that is true. Ooh, they know what they want.
Like you're just not sure. Like, it looks fine? Question mark? But like, you're not an expert.
Okay, so probably maybe like the transition, I don't want to take the whole, you know, whole time for the rest of the players, but probably their next go-to is, because right now they definitely want to give Saren some space. So, you know what? Why not tap some of the local SMEs, subject matter experts, and we'll probably tap, I guess not knowing their full capabilities, but either, you know, Bishay, Kaya, or... Dev to see who would be able to help, just to kind of review.
Yeah, Dev would probably be the closest person, since Dev usually operates the ROV, so he's at least somewhat familiar.
Dev, can I borrow you a second?
Sure.
I'm looking for any abnormalities here, but, you know, a lot of this code is not familiar. I don't know what it compares to as far as the operations. I'm more of a space station engineer than deep sea.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't really do, I don't do a lot of the stuff with a drill either, but I can help. That was always, they take kind of like a little pause and just, you know, Righteous handled
understood.
Pretty much everything for that. Dev rolled a 9.
Oh no!
let's add Dev's bonus and see. See if Dev has this has this figured out.
They don't have a plus 15.
Oh Jesus Christ!
He's got a plus 16 to computers.
Oh wowzers!
Yeah. So yeah. So even at a 9, you can see that, like, he was, you know, he still seems a little out of it, and he's being humble, but like he pops onto the computer and just goes boop 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 boop, like just presses a couple of buttons, checks through the code with you, and basically confirms what you were already thinking, which is like, yeah, no, you see here, like the drill efficiency was definitely like reduced by a lot. We were not gonna make our quota even before this happened, but I don't know, like I don't even think it would be possible to like slow it down enough to explode the drill just from this. And he gestures at the computer screen.
Oh, fantastic. Dev, you are a gem.
Aw, thanks. You too.
Vix is going to kind of, I guess, download the information and put it into the shared network drive. And I'll just put findings attached, warmest regards. I'm using a little tap. Oh gosh, I hope no workers are listening to this. So when I put warmest regards in email, it's basically fuck you. my old team knew this, but... That's how I say fuck you to folks emailing. I don't do it very often, by the way, but when I do, it's warmest regards. So I'll do just warmest attachments. Regards. Warmest regards. And then then they'll basically dive out of the moon pool to head to the, oh crap, memory. Wow. Drill room? Operations room?
Yeah, it's on the blueprints, it's labeled as the drilling bay.
Okay, head to the drilling bay.
So when you get there, you see that water has just, you know, completely filled this room. There's a massive drilling rig that has collapsed through the sea-facing wall and is now, like, it takes up most of the chamber. It's actually kind of hard for you to maneuver your body to swim around it because it was kind of a small room to begin with. And then there is a body in the control chair, an android, and... there are these just large tanks with a dull gray liquid just leaking out into the water as well. If you wanted to make me like a medicine or perception check, I can tell you a little more.
Man, almighty. I mean, it's not crap, but jeez. Really? That's such a low roll. Oh, wow. I guess they're really more upset than they thought. All right. Well, I guess it's not a 14. It's a 16.
Fortunately, like a 16 was enough. It's pretty clear that, like, Righteous was pinned to the control seat with shrapnel from the drill when it hit him. He was pinned there, so he actually likely... the cause of death was likely drowning and not necessarily being hit by the shrapnel. You also see evidence as you're kind of investigating. There are, like, residue from the drill actually suggests that... the platform hit a gas pocket. And while most drills are, you know, made, like, designed to withstand and mitigate accidents like that, you also remember that, you know, while you were flying up to Entha, there was a huge line to get in because a lot of people were coming in, shipping in replacement parts suggesting that the rate of replacement for EdgeCorp parts is pretty high, suggesting that the materials they're using are substandard and kind of shitty. So,
crap. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's then, yeah, that definitely clicks together. They're using crap parts, and Relora is no stranger to have written either memos, delivered memos, or reviewed memos to the effect of increasing profit margins. So it's just the best that a lizard or a vest can just kind of get pale. They lose a little color to their pallor if, you know, it's possible for the race. Just having those memories mixed together of holy shit, and also, oh, I know this practice, and just kind of knowing the practice kind of makes them sick. And it's, well, you know, put the data down into the shared drive, and kind of, again, kind of feeling icky in the pit of their stomach, will swim back to the moon pool.
I want to pull your attention to one more thing as you're flying out, as you're swimming by Righteous's body again to get out of the room. And you do notice that, like, there is a locket on his chest that is sort of like floating a little bit in the water.
Next akin. Okay, if I notice it, I will take it with me. Put it in one of
On a 16, that you would have okay. As you were examining the body, you would have noticed that.
Okay. That way, next akin or whoever. Oh yeah. Okay, well, we'll be heading back to the moon pool with sad swish of the tail as they swim.
While Relora has been kind of gathering all of this evidence, moving on to Saren. I saw in the notes from last episode that you wanted to go check on Shan.
How tall is Ballad?
They're short. They're fucking short. So they're only able to sort of be over Shan because Shan is short. She's 5'3".
Okay.
Yep. Taller than the otter lady for sure.
Taller than the otter lady, but Saren's sort of stepping in and kind of looming over her. And when Shan runs past, I don't remember if I said anything at the end of the last episode.
You did.
Ballot.
So looking at your thirst notes, it looks like at the end of last episode, you had already stormed out of the room.
Yeah. So, and I was just going to add to that, like, you know, when she stormed out, I'm almost imagining that G like did that thing where like you intentionally bumps your shoulder into somebody, but like, you know, she's so much taller that it's literally just body checking, like, you know, Ballad shoulder, like with your like torso, and there's that clank of metal on rock, and doesn't care that she's being rude, and follows after Shan. I think we had ended with Shan having said, like, all right, we're gonna go get this eel. And she's just like, I'm sorry for my friends. They usually mean well, but that was incredibly cruel of them.
Yeah, so I imagine like you followed Shan down a hallway. She's sort of like storming off towards the laboratory.
Yeah.
And she stops in the hallway, and like you can kind of see, like, she brings her little paws up, she kind of wipes at her eyes really quickly before she turns back around to face you and goes like, no, I get it. I do. I mean, you got attacked pretty much as soon as you landed here, and everything's all shifty, and I was trying not to fucking talk about it, and I don't know.
You deserved fine. Time to process your emotions rather than just being forced to confront them right now when we're in the middle of something much bigger than any one of
something
us.
Something that I caused. I deserve nothing. I don't even know what I'm doing right now. I'm sorry, Saren.
Saren squats down. So that G's as close to eye level with Shan as she can be. And just like,
it's, you're still a little, still just a bit taller.
flicks her in the forehead, like lightly, you know, like friendly.
Yeah.
Like, you did what you thought was right. And you can't be blamed for this. And even if you did something wrong that hurt somebody, you still deserve space, time, and compassion. Your actions do not mean that you deserve less than that.
tears just start welling up in her eyes again, like they're going to spill over. And she like, she looks away. She looks away from you, and she's like, "I missed you. I don't want you to be here, but I'm glad you are.
I missed you too. Also, similar."
I can't talk about this right now, though, because if I do, you know, I'm gonna lose it unproductively.
Yeah. I'm here for you whenever you need it.
Okay. I appreciate that. I honestly don't have any fucking idea what to do next.
Get shit done. Yeah. There will be time for tears later. I didn't know Righteous, but I assume they probably would have wanted this job to be finished.
Mostly, I think they just would have wanted to go home. They've got a wife, actually, so I think mostly they just wouldn't have wanted to be dead.
Sure. We all knew the risks when we signed up.
Yeah, that's what they say.
But it never prepares anyone
for
it.
That is what the paperwork says.
It's cold comfort, really. But sometimes we take comfort wherever we can.
So did you bring a ship? I assume?
Ship's on the surface.
You got down here?
We have a couple of pods that we stole off of a pair of... Well, off of an assassin team that was sent to kill us. And so we have, I think we can fit easily four of us in there. Some of us will probably definitely be hanging off the backside of it. I've gotten really good at piloting in the time since we last hung out.
Really?
Yeah. We have an ace pilot back there. The lizard, not the lizard, but the Vesk, Vix. he's really good at piloting.
That lizard.
It's yeah, the rest of the crew is, they are good people, but way damn, am I pissed at them right now for treating you so poorly.
Well, me too.
All right, let's go get suited up,
especially that captain of yours.
I don't know what his deal is right now, why he's so much bossier than usual. I think he doesn't do well under pressure.
Well, we can't all be like me. After all, I am, and she gestures to herself, a paragon of handling it.
Saren's lights twinkle happily, and it's like, oh, by the way, Dan, I missed you. Let's go handle some shit.
Let's go handle it. Let's go find some eel people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they'll come back to the main room. Where Brelore, I'm gonna say that you've already popped your head up out of the moon pool. While Shannon, Saren were in the hallway. What did the three of you discuss while they were, you know, having a little heart to heart?
I think I was gonna go, Calamity, you doing okay up there? I'm doing a check-in with her.
You get back kind of like some pretty fuzzy communication, but you know, they do respond. Still locked down, but so far so good. That dragon did come by and was checking us out. She had a team. She stared at us for a little while. She looked mad.
Were you able to pick up anything that she said?
Now, part of the lockdown is they jam your external microphones. So I didn't hear anything. Visual only.
Okay, well, if you're able to disconnect, I think now would be a good time to do that. You might want to just hover over our location.
I'll do my best, Captain, but this lockdown's pretty intense.
Okay. Well, thanks for the heads up. Give me a holler if anything going wrong.
Yeah, I'll let you know. Just heads up also, Captain, the crew of the Wintermourne has also been eyeballing me pretty close.
Okay. Interesting.
I don't know if there's anything to be done about that. I noted it, and I would like you to note it as well. Just in case they try something. You can, like, feel them, like, narrowing their virtual eyes. Like, that's the tone of voice, is them like squinting suspiciously at the Wintermorn.
Okay, well, we got enemies everywhere, so yeah, keep your eyes out. Although Wintermorn shouldn't be one of them at this point. We saved their asses like 5 times.
Well, some people don't understand proper gratitude.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting that like down that. Here a lot.
Oh, sassy.
Rough times in deep water. Rough times in deep water, Cap.
I don't like the water. I'm ready to go back to space.
Me too. Well,
okay.
Be safe down there, and I'll try to be safe up here.
You too.
Calamity out.
Yep. Bye. I should have told her to use a tactical nuclear missile if needed.
Oh, God. We're blowing it up
right there.
Just blow it up.
Name of episode: Cowboy Diplomacy.
You know, that'll put a that'll put a kink in the in their terraforming operations.
Absolutely.
I wonder who would win in that fight, dragon versus nuclear weapon.
I feel like the nuclear weapon would have the upper hand, for sure, for sure.
And Abby, were you saying Vix was coming up as Saren was coming back with Shan, or that the captain, Ballad, and Vix were all in the same room for like a while before that happened?
I think R'hllora popped up. Like, I don't know, maybe a minute before Saren and Shan came back. I'm just essentially saying you're back by the time they're back. Yeah. So we've checked in with the other three. Ballad, are you doing anything during this particular time? Aside from putting away the food?
Yeah, they just took up R'hllora's food storage, and then they've been just checking the hallways to make sure everything is secure. And then if they kind of like ran out of stuff to do, they're just sitting down with one ankle on their knee, relaxing. Very unbothered by what's going on right now.
Nice.
Great. The callow mercenary that you have temporarily recruited has busied himself keeping an eye on Zivix, mostly. Zivix seems very nervous. The callow mercenary seems to be enjoying this.
Ballad will kind of tell him to lay off, like, hey, you have a reason for doing that?
I am doing my job as the newly appointed member of your crew to make sure this squirmy fellow doesn't wreck the pump room.
Uh-huh. Well, you're not helping. Why don't you, shoo, go find another room to hang out in.
You need to be looking for other guys like you, not the squirmy guy.
There are no other guys like me.
Oh, I'm sure more will come.
There's one security officer here, and I got this handled, so you can buzz off.
Yeah, by the way, she's head security officer, so you gotta kind of listen to what she has to say.
He probably already knows that from how hard I kicked his ass.
Oh, more tears.
That was in full douchebag mode today.
Oh my god. You can see through his faceplate, he scowls so hard at that. So hard.
Get good, skill issue.
Skill issue. Excellent. Yeah, okay. He goes and he sulks in the opposite corner of the room.
Nah, I love our family.
I'm gonna ruin our relationship with
him. I feel like you kicking his ass already ruined the relationship.
Yeah, for sure. We had sort of a battle camaraderie though, but that wears off with time.
So everybody's kind of gathered back in the room. Do the four of you like want to say anything to each other or Shan?
Once everybody's in the room, Vix will go to their little data pad, you know, check the, you know, their uploaded files and like, well, now that we're all assembled, Captain, I did an investigation as requested. Here are my findings. The code, Shan, beautiful coding. Boy, I couldn't spot a lot of that stuff. So, gold star for Dev for discovering. Great job. It looks like you were able to successfully reduce the drill efficiency. So, you know, how
I'll many? Say, I'll say I fucking reduced its efficiency. All right.
And after review of the drill room, it looks like the drill hit an air pocket, which standard quality drills are able to account for. However, and we'll be looking at Saren, the captain, and Ballad, because, you know, we did have the they listened to the communication about the ship parts coming in at such a high speed. However, as we know, the parts being used for the whole terraforming operation are substandard. The burnout rate is increasingly high because of this, and that is what the cause of the accident was. Solely on really evil business practices, putting profit over the safety of employees. So basically, this was an Edge Corp. They Edge Corped it. Yes, I'm making it a verb.
That's an appropriate verb. Edge Corped it. They really Edge Corped that right up.
Saren glares at Friday and Ballad.
As that happens, Friday leaves the room. He actually goes all the way up to the conference room and closes the door. And you all probably can't hear it, but there are chairs being thrown and tables being flipped, and the screen that's in that room, he throws a chair into it, and then he straightens himself out and he calmly leaves the room and goes back to where everybody's at.
Hey, you okay, Captain?
Ballad, like, puts a hand on his arm.
I just don't appreciate death at the hands of cheapness.
Yeah. So, R'Laura, you can see in Shan's eyes that she wants to believe you, but she opens her mouth and she's like, yeah, but I'm slowing the drill down probably didn't help. It probably, like, I know that Edge Corp makes things out of shoddy materials and everything, but like, I fucked with its actual speeds and run times, and maybe if it had been optimal, like,
Sham,
it wouldn't have exploded.
Shan, if anything, you slowing down the drill kept it from dying and causing problems sooner, more than likely. When have you heard of a drill or machinery going bad from underuse, not overuse?
I would like R'Laura to make me a diplomacy check, and Friday, you may aid.
And as part of the diplomacy check, I'll be handing the data pad. It's like, well, if you don't want to take my word for it, which is okay, you can review the data yourself. And we have the luxury and privilege of having a very skilled engineer here to collaborate the data. Come on, big number, big number. Oh, that is a very nice. Ooh. That is a 24.
Whoa. Plus two.
24 yeah, plus
that's
two.
That's the highest roll. That's 20. 20, 20, 20, 20, 20.
26. That's
very, very well done. Yeah. Wow. You nat 20'd that. That's so awesome. Okay. She takes the data pad from you. She looks over to where Friday, you know, made a lot of sense about, like, you know, slowing the thing down probably wasn't what did it. She looks over the code. She looks over the data, and she kind of clutches the data pad to her chest and actually does burst into tears.
Those sons of bitches.
So it wasn't me.
It was not.
Nope.
Most definitely.
You're not the problem. It's not you.
Saren places a hand on her shoulder.
She covers it with one of her tiny little hands with her little claws. She's just She's like, she's trying to hide her face, like, behind the data pad. She doesn't want to see her crew. Like, she doesn't want her crew to see her completely lose it. But they all also come up around her. Zivix also, you know, gets down next to her and just sort of leans a shoulder up against hers. And the rest of them sort of stand around and just go, like, and kind of echo what you were saying out in the hallway, Saren. Like, Dev says, like, we all knew that there was going to be a lot of danger here. But, you know, if anything, Shan, you save our lives every day, you know, by keeping such a good eye on us and making sure things run well, by just generally taking care of us. And you could never, I don't think you ever would do anything to hurt us on purpose. So even if it had been you, it wouldn't have been your fault. So they're all kind of in like a sobby little group.
Since they're all gathered, Vix will take this opportunity to, you know, slow pace, very gingerly bring out the locket and is, I was able to recover this. I don't know which one of you will want to hang on to it and make sure it goes to where it needs to go.
Briche will extend her neck and be like, you just kind of, if you put it on me for now, I'm good friends with Tula. His wife. I'll make sure she gets it. Thank you for grabbing that.
Vix will just nod.
Okay. If there's nothing else that the four of you want to do or a scene that you'd like to have here, I'm going to go ahead and move us along.
All right.
We're going to do a little cut scene sort of situation.
A Star Wars fade, like star wipe.
So we're gonna do a star wipe. star wipe over to the four of you are back in your little, you know, undersea wave cutter pods. Shan is small enough that she can be squeezed in there with one of the two groups. I am going to decide what you did with the Kala mercenary. You instructed him to take the others in his ship that he used to get down here back up to the surface and to safety. So that's the job you gave him. So they're all on their way up to the surface, and the four of you, or the five of you now, are in your wave cutters, and you're at the edge of that drop-off that the terraforming platform almost plunged down into. It's dark down there. It's dark all over the place, but in your imaginations, it seems like it's almost darker in the abyss than it is over it. And I guess it technically is. The lights of Terra 5 are still on, so that just makes the shadows seem even deeper. And you're about to go heading straight into it, down to depths that Saren has only been into once.
Friday is going to turn on his bright light projector.
Your wave runners also come equipped with like headlights. Okay, so your wave runners, you know, launch from where you had landed them on the seabed, and you head down into the darkness. The headlights from the light from Friday's light projector and the headlights from your wave runners penetrate pretty far. It's doing a good job of illuminating the space, but like the space around you generally, but outside the outskirts of that, like it's, you could just still see like the darkness just sort of pressing in, waiting to envelop you completely if those lights go off. And you just head down for 3 hours until you finally see like something that looks like a seabed again. Shan does a little navigation. Now that you're actually down on a seabed again, she navigates you in a specific direction. She says, okay, this isn't quite the Shadow Sea yet, if you can believe it, despite how freaking dark it is around us at the moment. But I believe if we go for a little while more that way. Gives you the coordinates. Then we'll be able to start actually trying to find them. How's everybody feeling after everything went down on this 3-hour journey into depth and darkness and chilly seawater?
I would say it's a mite chilly down here, isn't it?
Mm. You get a cold shoulder from Saren.
It is chilly down here.
Ugh, brr.
Is that a cold breeze I felt somehow under the sea?
Saren is, I think, like, all the adrenaline has faded and at this point, and while she is still mad, you know, at them, she's not ready to, like, let it go. She probably recognizes, like, they were doing what they had to, but doesn't want to talk to them just yet.
I mean, the last time that Friday got, like, just get shit done mode, that was the last time Saren and Friday had a giant fight. So, you know, that makes sense. Trex.
I think she is also back to sort of the fear kind of being the most pressing emotion, because she doesn't have shit to get done right now. It's a long trip down into the ocean, and she's just going to look at Shan and just, you know, oh, never thought I'd be back here again.
Yeah, I'm still shocked. I'm still shocked. Even as much as I know, you know, how much you love your friends and how much you'll always try to help people that matter to you, I would have thought that this would be a bridge too far, and that would have made sense to me.
If it were anyone else.
Aww.
You know, Shan, it's kind of funny that I went into space because I wanted to be an explorer, and I never got to really do the exploring part because I had to work. And it's interesting that now I'm at the bottom of the sea and we're doing some exploring. Feels like a weird twist of fate.
Yeah, life takes funny turns. From the way my mom tells it, though, you know, you still get into plenty of hijinks anyway.
Oh, well, that's just ways to pass the time. Not necessarily what I want to do, though. But let's go find some hijinks.
You're great at that. Very creative. My mom likes you a lot.
Yeah, I like your mom a lot, too. That's why I'm here.
Is, out of curiosity, who's riding in the thing, the wave cutter, with Saren and Shan? Is it Friday or is it Ballad?
Friday can't ride on the outside and Ballad can, so I guess that kind of makes it really easy.
Yeah, Ballad's on the outside.
Just clinging to the hull. Woo!
Yeah, this is fun for her. It's very meditative. Like, but yeah, this is kind of what she's been wanting, is to, like, sulk underwater. Mm-hmm. And it's finally happening so many episodes later. Finally, I can sulk in peace.
Finally, the plot line delivers everything that you've been wanting, which is to be surrounded in darkness and quiet.
Yeah. Being like my metal skeleton just creaking under the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Is Ballad kind of enjoying
like
that?
Like a weighted blanket. Yeah, weighted blanket situation.
Anything in particular she's brooding about?
I don't know. It's been. Yeah. She's still very preoccupied about Sinjin. I don't think that's ever going to go away book by book, you know. Mm-hmm. She hasn't talked too much about specifically what it is. It's like, you know, I think she's happy to let people misunderstand what the issue is there. But there's a lot of complex thoughts swirling around about. I mean, she had a relationship with him for almost 200 years. Not almost. A century and a half, you mm-hmm. know someone and you kind of like, she feels like she allowed him to take liberties and get away with things. Like, she's blaming herself for his actions to an extent, right? Which obviously is wrong, and she even knows that, self-reflecting. She's doing that thing where, like, you have the trauma and the guilt and you're telling yourself, oh, but what could I have done to stop this? What could I should have done this. I could have done that. And it's not constructive at all. She's shooting herself super hard and it's not helping. But it's just this, like, going back and forth of, no, but you were not in control of that. Yes, you could have left earlier, but you're doing what you can now. And then back to, no, but it is your fault because blah, 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 blah.
the spiral, an Ouroboros of awful, awful thoughts. Mm.
Yeah, oh my god, there's this line in a song I love that is very ballad core right now. It's like, I'm like an Ouroboros, no matter which way I turn, I'm always eating shit.
Ha! Oh, yeah. That's a great line. And yeah, sounds perfect for Ballad's mood right now.
So 3 hours in is like a long journey. Sometime between that, you know, Miss Fanny being Miss Fanny would want to reach out to Saren, at least telepathically, to do a check-in. But it's like kind of like getting their like senses going. Just everything that they've experienced, probably kind of like Saren, that adrenaline's coming down. They're remembering, again, those memos and the shoddy equipment. And the realization hits them so deep that, you know, they worked really hard to absolve Shan of fault for the accident, but R'hllor's very much responsible, and who knows how many workers she's killed, you know, over her business career. And it's something that, you know, she put up a lot of her past behind her, and having that come to light, it's both the realization of, oh, okay, well, it wasn't Shan's fault, but it was definitely my fault. You know, how many lockets has she sent out to family members caused by her actions, you know, in the sake of building this Calestrian wealth, or making her father's proud, or showing Aileen, you know, doing acquisitions and cutting corners just to go, oh Aileen, your profit margins are 4% lower than mine. Oh, what a shame. Oh, if only you had any business sense. Call yourself a businesswoman. So that's coming in. So as they're like going down, it's like, holy crap. So it's all coming back to them. And so for that kind of 3 hours, you know, they're joining a ballad in this kind of underwater dark sulk, as it's, wow, how did I let all this, you know, I did some horrible shit. How did I just push this back so far? It's not doing justice to all the wrongs that she's done. So that's the primary reason where, you know, Vix hasn't reached out to Saren, is they just got hit by a lot of like memories and realizations and stuff they've just been putting off. And with all the stuff happening with Aileen coming back in her life, it's now at the forefront. You know, she'll try to forget it, those things in emergency mode, mission mode, but it's 3 hours of darkness. That's a lot of time to beat yourself up. So by the time they get down, you know, to closer to their destination, they're already so deep in their head and just trying not to count. I mean, they have no way of counting, but try not to mentally imagine, you know, her victim count. So there's Vix / R'hllor / Miss Fanny.
I love it. Everybody's in a dark mood, except, you know, I don't know, Friday. What is your mood?
Friday just wants to get this shit done. He wants to hurt EdgeCorp as much as possible. So he has chose chaos and violence today. That is his mode. One of those he's always on chaos mode, but the violence mode is, yeah, violence, that's a whole other thing.
So we've got a very focused Captain Fry, just wants to get down there, get this shit handled, and get back to space where he belongs. We've got a extremely terrified, anxious Saren, who is attempting to cover that by joking around with your old pal.
Yep.
We have said old pal.
Just like me for real.
Just like Heidi for real. And then we have said old pal, who was probably joining the final two of you, R'hllor and Ballad, in just a general brood. It's a dark time. As, well, something just kind of appears out there in the darkness. It's unfortunately familiar to all four of you. At this point, you had a real up close and personal encounter with one of these kind of little higher up in the ocean. This bright orange hexagon suddenly glows, and you get attacked by a giant jelly again.
Oh, oh no.
Isn't that exciting?
Oh, we just entered its territory.
Okay, everybody, call out what you got for your initiative, starting with Friday.
Friday got a 21.
Ballad.
13.
Vix.
23. Woo, woo, woo.
Hooray. Woo, woo, woo. Saren
got a 4.
Saren's going last.
I'll just sit over here and twiddle my thumbs until it's my turn.
You know, don't worry about a darn thing over there, you little cutie, and let everybody else take care of
it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not like Saren... I guess Saren did some damage on this one the last time, but...
You okay, what's your dex modifier, Ballad?
Plus two, I think.
Oh, so it was a giant jelly.
Okay, well, we could roll off.
Let's roll off.
Roll off!
We haven't done one of these in a while. Oh, shit!
Oh,
you win.
Yeah!
Oh,
I pull out
the fucking waste of a 19. God dang.
But you definitely get to go first before the jelly, and I feel like that should make you feel good.
It does, sort of. Not very effective okay. Underwater.
It's a real shame you decided to come to an extremely, extremely deep ocean and go trawling around on the bottom of it then.
Yeah, shit.
Bad decision.
I'm all fire-based.
Maybe we could ram it. Run it over.
You could definitely give that a shot.
With this thing being on the prowl for food, Miss Fanny prepares meals and is not a meal, is going to ram
strict
this sucker.
Boundaries. I am not food. Excellent.
Yeah, it looks like it just needs to make a reflex save of, what did I say, 13? Yeah, collision. It looks like the collision DC is 13, so not too bad. It may be able to make it.
Okay, it might.
I'll channel might Friday. Hang on to your horses, y'all. Push this thing to its max capacity. They do that, oh crap, it's a Mad Max where they spit like the fuel into the... like the engine, right? To, whatever the equivalent is for a wave cutter, to get some speed out of this.
Unfortunately, it rolled a 19.
Oh, got out of the way.
Oh,
yep. So it twists out of the way. That would have been cool, though.
I could respect.
I would have approved.
That was some graceful movement. All right, that's all, Vix. That's
graceful.
Full round.
You can also see, like, it's just, you know, even with the lights shining around it, the darkness of its tentacles still kind of blend in with the darkness behind it. So it's really kind of eerie just seeing, mostly just being able to perceive this, you know, glowing orange. And we move on to Captain Friday.
Friday gets out his pocket watch and he thinks. And then he raises his hand in this, like, grasping motion and he over his watch pulls up, and as he's pulling up around the watch, you see this glowing haze encircle the creature completely, and this haze goes 20 feet high. And that ends its turn.
Ominous.
Everyone should just make a run for it. I got it handled.
I'd love to get the fuck out of here.
Sure.
Roll me a fortitude save.
Okay.
Okay, that's a fail. No effect right now. So actually, it kind of keeps going. But the wall's still there, so that's all that matters. So just no effect right now.
Hmm. Well, that's fun.
I'm so curious what this is.
Me too. I can't wait for the giant jelly stern so we can find out. Yeah, Shan is up next and will reserve her turn in the interests of being able to get out of here sooner. She hears you Friday over the comms saying, let's get out of here. And she's like, works for me. These things. I do not fuck with these things. It is Ballad's turn, though. So what would Ballad like to do?
To make this easier for myself, I'll just use my arm extensions so I can hit from here, or at least attempt to. And I probably won't because I never hit underwater, but that is minus two, minus four. So 13 to hit, and it's not gonna do it.
Roll a fortitude save there, Jess. Okay, you're good. Oh, well, no, you're still technically, because some of them are half.
Of course I get the natural 20 on the fucking save.
You got haste.
Cool.
Hey, you got hasted. So.
Ooh.
I can miss all my attacks twice as fast.
Hey, what a day. What a day to be alive. Okay, Ballad, is that the end of your turn? So Fish angles orange head towards Ballad, who is the last person to actually try to strike at it, and begins reaching out with those coily black tentacles. And Ballad, you're watching it approach you, and behind it, something glints, reflecting off of the lights from the headlamps of the wave cutters, and also from Friday's projection. Just rows of very, very, very sharp teeth, and a very large snout comes into view. It's bigger than the jelly by a lot. It's bigger than all of you. It could swallow all four of you, the wave cutters and the jelly, no problem. And its mouth slams shut around the jelly.
Roll me a fortitude save.
And we're going to leave it there, and I'll roll it next time.
I wondered if this was going to be a bigger fish scenario.
Far Beyond the Stars is a Fantastic Worlds production. Thank you so much for listening to the show. In the meantime, if you can't get enough of us, we also produce a second show, the Fantastic Worlds podcast, based on the Reign of Winter adventure path for Pathfinder 1E. And you can also connect with our fantastic community by checking out our Discord, Reddit, following us on Facebook, Instagram, wherever. You can find links to access all of those on our website at fantasticworldspod.com. And if you'd like to support the pod, please consider joining our Patreon by going to fantasticworlds.cash. You'll get access to behind-the-scenes content for all of our shows and our undying gratitude for supporting our queer actual play podcasts. I'm Abby, your galactic mistress, and you can find me at Bonanza Famine on Instagram.
I'm Heidi, playing Chief Engineer Saren Caceres, or Saren Maleacor. You can find me, I'm not on the internet. Don't look for me on X. Don't look for me on Instagram. Maybe on Discord. You can at me on Discord.
You're all over the Discord.
Yeah, that's the one place you can find me.
This is Angel. Handle is Espinoza 916. You just do a search for that. You'll eventually find me.
This is Jess. You can find me on Instagram and X at Hank the Clank. I don't post there that much. But I do post lots on our Discord. As Heidi said, find us on that Discord.
This is your captain, Dustin Alexander / Friday Francisco. Please make sure your chairs are in their upright position and get ready for takeoff. Actually, would this be landing? Because we're at the end of the episode,
We're at the end of the episode. We're not going anywhere. We're done.
Yeah. We're deplaning.
It is a balmy 65 degrees down here at the bottom of the sea, and we're so glad that have joined us.
That's really cool.
You can find me and all my weird chaotic ramblings on Threads, on Facebook, on X, on Instagram, and on our social media stuff that we have for our fantastic world. So you can always go check it out there. Although I don't post there much anymore because I am tired. Thank you.
If you enjoy our show, which you do, obviously, because this is episode 57, so you probably are kind of into it, at least, you should do us a big favor and you should spread the word to other people who you also think might sit through 57 episodes of this. And we'll see you next time, far beyond the stars.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew. Pew, pew.
Far Beyond the Stars is a Fantastic Worlds production and an officially licensed partner of Paizo Incorporated. The Starfinder Adventure Path Fly Free or Die is a trademark of Paizo, copyright 2020. All Paizo content is used with permission.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. All those workers met their end.
Ooh. Ooh.